For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is about something that lights your fire when nothing else will.
This is the Mark Divine Show. This show, we're going to discover and dive in and discuss what makes the world's most inspirational, compassionate, and resilient leaders so courageous.
Transform the nature and functioning of our own brain for the better.
Go put your virtues in action. Be the best version of yourself.
Life is a practice. Day by day, get wiser and stronger and grow.
How do you understand enough about your own mind and psychology and emotions, and how do you develop a reflective awareness practice to actually get in the driver's seat of your own mind?
We go in-depth with people from all walks of life. Martial arts grandmasters, meditative monks, CEOs, military leaders, stoic philosophers, proud survivors, and more. Every episode turns our guest experience into actionable insights that you can learn from and lead a life filled with compassion and courage.
I started putting all these little tools in my pocket, started to reflect a lot and meditate.
There has to be a balance between movement and rest.
It all starts with us. We cultivate these qualities in ourselves. We become a beacon of light for others in the world. Please join us on the journey. The Mark Divine Show. Hoo-yah.
Well, we're going to interview Hans Both, who's basically the brains behind that really cool Volvo 1800 Scion we were talking about in the last episode. They're doing kind of a Singer version of that. I think you guys will be interested in that. He also is the guy basically started Polestar for Volvo. A lot of racing history. We'll get into some of the cool cars that are coming out, supercars and hypercars. First, there's Geico.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Get on the church. We got a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for friend. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, coming to us via Skype. Turn it down, please. Thank you. How you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. Got a little bit of a cold, but I'll try to not make it sound disgusting on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Everyone's got something. I don't have anything, but Phil. Phil the Labrador, he's been booting all night, all day. Oh, God. Anyway, don't get me started. Today, our guest is Hans Both. He is the guy. Well, we were talking about the P1800, the Volvo that they're going to do a kind of Singer move on. We were talking about it, I think, last show. And he heard it, and he wants to come on and talk it up.
Yeah, I got a chance to see that car when they had a little media debut here, and we were talking about it then, and then I thought it'd be great to have Hans come in and tell his story, so looking forward to chat with him.
Yeah, me too. And as I said, as we always discuss, the sort of jumping off platform for cars, I just feel like the 73 Chevelle is not a great platform to start from when it comes to doing a bitchin' car. But obviously the reason Singer's knocking it out of the park is the platform is there. The 911 is like one of the greatest shapes ever. But that Volvo P1800 is a cool little sports car that was always kind of gutless. A lot of people don't know the car. It's got a great little size and shape and scale to it. And in the right hands, that could be a really cool piece. And I think we're going to talk to the guy whose hands that car was put in. Or Hans, that car was put in, as it were. So there's that. There's the crazy prototype that set the record at Goodwood at the hill climb that we were kind of the fan car that we're sort of interested in.
Yeah, so we were getting into that McMurtry, right? Not to be confused with Gordon Murray, right?
Right.
And, you know, this is a startup company that we talked about. They put the company together around 2016. They made this car, this prototype, and it was track specific for the hill climb, geared a certain way. But now they're saying they do want to do a road going version of this car. It won't be quite as crazy once you add license plates and street legal mirrors and some of the things that alter the aero and stuff. And you got to gear it up for a little bit more street use. But the question was, what do you do with the fan? Because the fan just sucks up dirt off the street and blows it onto the cars all behind you. So
right.
The fan will be active in track mode. But the question is, will there be a track mode that you can use on the street like a lot of cars have today? And then a sort of a more refined or constrained version of track mode that is geofenced. Like, will it use a GPS to know that you're on a track and then only activate the fan when it's on the track? Or maybe there's the fan will be used in limited capacity on the street, not full capacity. And maybe there's some sort of filtration system or something, because I just don't see how you can run that fan. Certainly it's 120 decibels at full speed. Mm-hmm. And it blows a lot of crap out the back, you know, just any dirt and debris on the street. So I just don't see you sit at a stoplight trying to drag race somebody down Ventura and going, hey, but now it sounds like there's a jet engine going by and it's just blowing all kinds of crap behind you without some sort of filtration or something on it. But
well, look, one would think, but remember, driving up and down any street in Los Angeles at any given time, there's five Mexicans with leaf blowers just blowing a huge plume of shit that was all over the driveway or the sidewalk into the street in a cloud of dust. So maybe we're just used to it over here.
Yeah, I guess so. But and look, they're the darling of Goodwood right now, setting the record. So it's good to see, you know, it's exciting to see that this company's saying, you know, we love the press. We love the attention. Now we're getting some orders. So we're going to make some more cars.
I don't know who formerly held the record, maybe a F1 car or a GTP car or something like that, you know.
It was the Volkswagen, the electric one.
Oh, the electric,
crazy,
right.
Prototype Volkswagen, yeah.
Right, so now we're just going to have electric car records. And, yeah, because I got to tell you, I've been driving around the Tesla, I don't know what, with the gold wings and the yoke steering wheel. The yoke steering wheel is cool, but it's not. It eliminates a huge part of my driving game, which is knee steering. You cannot steer with your knee.
Yeah.
Now, it's not about steering. You know, it's not about going down a mountain road with your knee. It's about being on the 405. And at some point grabbing your phone and wanting to hit a thing on your phone, and the phone's in your right hand and you're pecking away with your left hand, and that's where the knee clamps onto the steering wheel and keeps the car going straight. Or in Dawson's case, according to, who was it? Brian, I think, he grabbed the steering wheel with his knee and ripped a bong load. That's a two-handed operation there. With the yoke, there is no knee. There's no way to, and you don't even know how often you are like, I'm driving in the car, I'm holding a coffee mug in my right hand. My left hand is on the wheel, but when the phone rings, I reach over to tap the phone and implement the knee steering, just the stabilizing at that point. You have no idea how many times you take your hands off that wheel or both hands off that wheel. So And also the yoke, you know, I like, I'm a big fan of when I turn a car, I just let the steering unwind. You just kind of loosen your grip on the wheel and the wheel just unwinds as you're coming out of the turn. You can't do that with the yoke. It's just not, it's a cool.
Well, you can't kind of glide your fingers over it to.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when it's unwinding, you can't just kind of let go and.
Yes. It's cool, but it's not very practical. And as far as the, like, well, you got more space when you climb in the car, it's just not really a thing. It wasn't a problem to begin with. I would take this sort of half yoke, like when I raced that Trans Am car and the sort of top part of the steering wheel was removed. That's fine. But the bottom, you just, you know, it's hard to fix, or it's hard to improve on the old school steering wheel. All right.
So. Well, this is why we got the flat bottom wheels, right? Like we've got, you know, round up on the top, a little flat on the bottom, give you a little extra room to slide in underneath it, but still is arguably a circle with a flat spot.
All right. So we also see here that Red Bull is building a hypercar.
Yeah. So what happened was Aston Martin has been building this crazy hypercar called the Valkyrie, which we're starting to see. It was at the Goodwood Hill Climb and was at this event recently, and it's just crazy over the top. They make a street version and a track version. But when the project started, it was Aston Martin and Red Bull developing this together. But then over the years, as this project went along, Aston Martin on a corporate level made some changes and ended up partnering with Mercedes and AMG. So Aston Martin finished the project, the Valkyrie. But now the Red Bull team is saying, those engineers are going, well, we kind of have some unfinished business. We didn't get to finish our Valkyrie. We, you know, because things changed. So Red Bull Advanced Technologies, RBAT, is saying that they want to do their version of that. So they want to come up with basically like a street version of an F1 car. They want to be able to take all of this technology that they've been developing for F1 and are no longer able to use and put it into a street car. They're talking about active suspension, carbon fiber tub, side skirts, ground effects tunnels, diffuser technology, hybrid energy recovery systems. And they want to put all this stuff into a street car. They think they can do 1,250 horsepower. They want to make about 50 cars, but they're going to be priced at about $6.1 million each.
All right.
A little on the high end. So to give you some reference.
Yeah.
Real quick, the Valkyrie and the Gordon Murray T50, those are priced at about $3 million each.
Yeah, that Gordon Murray car is cool. And a Valkyrie's cool, too. But I think I'd go Gordon Murray. Cool. All right, Hans Both is, I think, ready to go.
He,
as we discussed, has that Volvo 1800. Hans, are you with us?
Yes, now I am.
Yes, where are you coming from?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yes. We can.
Beautiful.
I'm Adam. That's Matt, who you're speaking to.
Hello.
Where are you right now?
In Burbank, LA.
Oh. I thought you were in Sweden or something. Good.
What about you?
Yeah, we're not too far apart.
Yeah, we're nearby.
All right. How far?
Oh, 3 miles.
Well, he's in Burbank as well, but okay. But I think he meant where you from normally?
Oh, yeah,
I'm from Sweden.
So Hans, let's talk about this car. We were talking about it in the last episode just because it caught our eye. How? Give us the specs on the car, and then let's talk about the genesis of why you decided on this model.
Okay. The Volvo P1800 Scion is what you today call a resto mod. Either although resto mods could be almost anything, but it is a Volvo P1800 from 1964. Based on that, perhaps 20% of the steel chassis remain. All other steel is new. The whole body shell is carbon fiber. It has bespoke chassis like double wishbones, front and rear, and Öhlins dampers, AP Racing brakes. So it's very close to a new car, but it's homologated as a modified car in Europe.
What's the power plant?
Power plant is based on, sounds a little bit boring when you start, because it's based on the one and only engine you can get if you buy a modern Volvo today. But it's the same engine that brought us the first world title in the WTCC in 2017. So the block and the cylinder head is Volvo, and most of the internals are our design, bespoke for the car. So it's 420 horsepower, 2-liter turbo.
Yeah. So a high. What
yeah,
does
yeah, big
what
power?
What's the red line? Yeah.
Yeah, that's also an important part because this the idea with this car is to resemble the 60s. So it's very analog in all its senses, and also the engine, although it's based on a modern turbo engine, it's calibrated to deliver power linear with the revs. So you get peak power at 7,000 and red line is 7,700. So it's a car you drive as you would punish a P1800 from 1964, but it delivers 4 times more horsepower.
Did they just do that vehicle for 1 year?
No. It was launched in 61, same date, same place as the E-Type. And it was produced until 73. So approximately 50,000 cars were built.
Yeah, I thought...
Yeah, so
I didn't...
sourcing an original car to start with is not that big of a deal.
That's no deal at all.
Okay,
and especially
good.
Since we cut away almost the whole car, it can be, for the purists, it can be a car beyond rescue.
The reason I said that, and I've seen many of them, and I assumed it wasn't just 1 year, but you said yours is based on a 64. So yeah, I didn't know what was
correct.
Different about that.
Yeah, okay. There is a little bit of difference, and we haven't, because the car is designed in Italy by a Swede, and the first 2 or 3 model years are the body shells are made in England, and they are maybe a Volvo P1800 fan is listening to this, but the body shells from that period are kind of different sizes, so we haven't yet built on one of those because they are a little bit, yeah.
Is
the measurements aren't perfect, if you say so.
Has Singer opened up this world to the notion of people paying a premium for cars that are done right, that are essentially being repurposed from you know, a bygone era? Because I feel like, you know, it would have been a very tough sell pre-Singer, and especially the values of Singers now, you know, continuing to rise after the purchase price, because, you know, people would have went, hey, for $700K, I can get any Ferrari I want, or just about any Ferrari I want. But Singer's kind of let people know that, no, this is different and there's value here.
I mean, there are tons of answers to that question, but to start with the first one, that's all credit to Singer. These guys did some... I mean, a resto mod is nothing new. It's been forever, I think. But Singer made something, created some kind of acceptance on that you actually can invest in building, as you said, made cars that are made right. And we should be lying if we said that Singer hasn't inspired us. Singer has been sort of absolutely not the, in terms of our product and their product, that like they would be comparable, because that's a backdated car. Now ours is a very vintage car that is almost completely remade. But I think it's very much up to seeing that there is a market today.
And what's the
this kind of cars?
What's the process? People order it, put a deposit down. What's the lead time?
Yeah.
Pick out the interior, exterior colors and fabrics and the standard fare?
Yeah. Either you get yourself a P1800 or we source one for you. It is a commission, so you own the car and we perform all the job. Lead time is a year approximately. And this far we're sort of dipping a toe in the water, so we can produce one car per month with the setup we have currently. And you just we have a very tight dialogue. The car is designed to be able to set up in very many directions. Obviously, colors, interior, seats, belts, if you want a roll cage or not, all these things, that's up to you really. But also the driving characteristics of the car is very much up to the client. Not only how much horsepower you want, but also where you want the torque. The car that has been up and down the valley roads here in LA for a couple of weeks now, it's calibrated for that. So it's not fast on the track, but it's really fun and makes you confident, you know, in traffic, in, you know, a little bit inspired driving through a canyon road. You've got tires that are progressive, so it's not nervous as many cars. You mentioned Ferraris before. There are other supercars that are almost intimidating if you push them. This car is just your friend. It's built for happiness in terms of driving. And then, I mean, everything is... So if you start with the original car, it's 990 kilos. For us in Europe, it's about under a ton. That is important, under 1,000 kilos, which is about 2,100 pounds, I think. But then, of course, if you want the AC, if you want other seats and so forth, it's quite loud as it is now. If you want it more silent, then you add some insulation and things like that. So the base car is built to be able to tailor it exactly to fit your likings.
Where is it manufactured?
In Mölndal, Gothenburg, Sweden. Like 15 minutes from Volvo Cars.
Did you do a little rally driving back in the day?
Me personally?
Yes.
Yeah, I still do. I'm 55, but still in the Swedish National Championship with an M3. So I think cars for me, it's people say they are... I think it's a part of life, really. I'm not passionate. It's just I can't get rid of it. So do that.
Hans, Adam and I were talking about there's a handful of companies that are getting into this high-end restomod game. Not everybody should do it. You got to be kind of the right team with the right car. And when you and I first met at the event in LA and we had a conversation about your background, Polestar, maybe you can elaborate on that, because if you're going to do a Volvo Restomod like this, it turns out you guys probably are the best ones to do it. Can you explain the background, like with Polestar and the history there?
I mean, that's up to somebody else to judge if we are the ones. But I mean, we spent how much is it now? Relationship to Volvo started in 1996. To race with race cars that were built by other teams like TWR, Tom Walkinshaw Racing, known from Formula One, and the Pro Drive in England, the Subarus and many other, actually coming up with their own resto mod this week. The you might have seen it at Goodwood. But yeah, we've been Volvo's factory team since between 96 and 2017. 17, we won our first world title. And after that, we swapped to another brand in the Geely. Geely is owning Volvo today, so we swapped to another brand. But so we spent, is it 21 years with Volvo? And during that time, we also started a company called Polestar that Volvo bought from us in 2015. And I think all other comparisons aside, but you could say it's like a BMW Alpina. We built cars in Volvo's factory with sort of our design in terms of chassis, engine performance, and things like that. And these cars were sold throughout 4 years in our hands before Volvo bought that. So we have been very close to Volvo for a long time. Obviously learned quite a lot about the cars, and particularly this engine. When you say a four-cylinder turbo based on a modern engine, that might sound a little bit, you know, can I say boring, but I can assure you when you drive it, your smile goes up with the revs. So, but also the history we have that with that engine. We started developing that for racing in 2010, and raced it for the first time in the WTCC in 2011. And that was 4 years before the engine went into production. So we've been working with that engine for many, many years, and all our five world titles is with that engine. And also a little bit of, if you're a car enthusiast, the head of powertrain at Volvo during this time is a guy called Derek Crabb, and his history goes back to Colin Chapman at Lotus. So it's a little bit closest the loop where this is his brainchild before he retired. So this engine have, if you want, some kind of relationship back to old Lotuses, which is small engine, lightweight, high revs, a lot of grunt.
Yeah, so,
I don't know if that answered your question, but yeah.
We're fans of the four bangers around here because I have a few Datsun 510s and Datsun 2000 Roadsters. And, you know, the 510 is really a fun car to drive on a track because you have to wring it out. You know, you really have to drive it to its sort of maximum potential. Otherwise, there'll be nothing. I mean, if you did a race in a Datsun 510 and you should be shifting at 8,000 and you shift at 76,000, you'll just fall right off the pace. It's really that kind of car. And I think most guys who race those cars really appreciate that aspect of it, that part where it doesn't seem like a lot of horsepower or even a lot of displacement, but you have to drive it, and because it doesn't have a lot of displacement, you have to drive it in such a way that is very, very spirited. So how do you have pre-orders, how many units do you expect to put out? I know you said one a month right now. 5 years from now, what are your projections?
There is no business plan.
Good. Well, it means you're passionate. Look, it means you're passionate about it.
Yeah, the project started to celebrate the Sweden's, ours, and Volvo's first world title, and you can't just. I mean, obviously, you can come up with a business plan. Sometimes I say that strategy, that's something that you write down and tell people when you know where you ended up.
Right.
The market will decide, obviously, how many cars that there will be sold. From a technical perspective, the tooling made for the carbon fiber body shell, the windows, things like that, that's for 100 cars. And obviously, there could be more done, more made, but we just don't know.
We're taking
the car to the Quail,
Monterey,
this in August, and let's see what happens there. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you at the Quail.
First U.S. car is. Yeah, let's do that.
I've seen quite a few Polestar electric cars cruising around Los Angeles. I don't know how they're doing numbers wise, but they seem pretty popular, at least in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I should not be speaking about the current Polestar. It was actually listed on NASDAQ last week. But it's the same company that I was used to be managing director for. So it's really nice to see. But it's a completely different company to, I think there are 1,500 employees and we were 15. So it's a bit of a difference.
Yeah, so Volvo took the Polestar company that you guys had. And it went from being sort of this high-performance tuner within the Volvo brand, and then Volvo decided to spin it off as their pure-play EV company. So that's how the name has evolved, you know. And so just some confusion because, you know, like you said, not too many years ago, we would see, you know, a Volvo, and then you can get the Polestar edition, which is sort of just, you know, the hotter version, the high-performance tuned version of that car, like you said, that you guys were doing on the assembly line at Volvo at the time, kind of way Alpino is with BMW. But Volvo just decided to use that name as for something else. So once it acquired the company and the rights to that name, it was a little confusing for us as well. A few years back when we saw Polestar show up at Pebble Beach on the lawn, on the concept lawn and stuff, and there was a booth there, and we're like, isn't that Volvo? And then they're like, no, we're our own company now. And I was like, yeah, but you didn't tell anybody at Volvo. You didn't tell the rest of us. So, but now we're starting to figure it out.
But to keep you confused, you can still buy a Polestar Volvo, a Polestar tuned Volvo. So these cars are still in production.
Yeah.
And also you can also buy the Polestar optimization package, which is a software upgrade for your car. You can buy that from Volvo. So, and that is the business that they bought the name and the business from us. So that business is still ongoing, and it's very popular in some regions of the world still. So it's a bit confusing. Yes.
Well, Hans, we look forward to seeing you at the Quail and the P1800 Cyan. I'm excited to see that car in person, and I've always, you know, I've said to Matt a lot, in the 60s, even into the early 70s, there were these great European little sports cars with great shapes to them, but they were kind of missing a power plant and suspension and brakes and everything. All they had was like sort of a nice shape, but no, that was it. And it's great to see someone take this car with that always had a great shape and have it realize its full potential. Website, Cyan Cars, that's cyancars.se. You can go there if you want to see what we're talking about. And Hans, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at Pebble.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to meet you guys. And we will bring a second car as well.
Oh, good.
We'll, two Polestars at the Quail.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Hans.
Thanks. All right. Let's see, Matt. What else is going on in the real world out there? Nissan's going to... Yeah? Sorry?
Yeah, no, you're right. Nissan's going to be dropping their full-size pickup truck, the Titan, which has, you know, been around for a while. I guess it just didn't catch on to Dodge and Ram and GM. Toyota's truck is doing, you know, still doing pretty well, I guess, but just not going to work out for Nissan. Although I think the relaunch of the Frontier is doing pretty well for them. That's got a lot of good reviews on that truck, but no more full-size truck.
Look, it has always been Toyota then Nissan. When I was driving mini trucks, and I always drove mini trucks, and I was working as a carpenter, and, you know, mileage and maintenance and parking and everything was an issue. I was like, the mini truck is the best vehicle for what I'm doing. I would see guys come, you know, kind of lumbering up in their Ford F-250s and stuff, but it's like, I don't have gas money. And I know, like, technically it's got a bigger bed and everything, but I'll throw a lumber rack on this Nissan and I can get 10 sheets of plywood up there. And I just use the shit out of that thing. But the Toyota was always kind of the benchmark. And when you looked up in Consumer Reports, Toyota was a better truck than the Nissan, not by a ton, but by 20% or something like that. But the Toyotas were expensive. You know, I don't think that people really kind of realize, like, Toyota's always been quite a bit more, at least when I was growing up, than Nissan was. And, you know, I guess you get what you pay for. But it is funny that all these years later, Nissan was never able to kind of quite keep its grip on the mini truck market. They, you know, I feel like they had some misfires and some miscues and what have you. But they do it. Back in the day, it was always great, always reliable, always bulletproof, and probably kind of the reason I'm into Nissan now is those bulletproof little overhead cam L1800 or 1600 motor pickup trucks I used to thrash on back in the day. All right. Well, Matt's remote, so we'll cut this one a little bit shorter than we normally do, and we can expect Matt back in studio for the next episode. Springfield, Missouri, me, Blue Room Comedy Club, July 15th and 16th. We'll do four shows, stand-up shows and live pod there. And then The Stand in New York, that's July 20th. And Chris DeStefano is going to be there and Mark Norman's going to be there. So that'll be a fun show. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. And the new book coming out any day now. So just go to AdamCarolla.com and hit that banner. What do you got, Matt?
Just give me a follow on social media and at Moderator, and, you know, appreciate that.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt and Hans saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.